Oh my God, it's the plugs. This is Jen Kirkman's podcast. I usually play fun music, but I have to get up in like 4 minutes. I have to go to bed and get up in 4 minutes. I'm going to have a 4 minute sleep. So here's the deal. This week, you can hear me on the wrap-up show on Howard 101 on Wednesday and Thursday, May 27th and 28th, 11 a.m. Brand new episodes, even though Howard is a repeat this week. Thirdly and secondly, I am on a major tour in June and July. The next big mainstream place I'll be is at Denver Comedy Works, downtown Denver, June 11th through 13th. Come out to that. Then I start a run of little one-nighters, going everywhere from San Diego to Tucson to Phoenix, Sacramento, Seattle, Vancouver, British Columbia, Portland, Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Iowa City, Omaha, Kansas City, St. Louis, Champaign, Illinois, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Cincinnati, Ohio, and then a long week in Montreal. All of that is on sale right now, jenkirkman.com. Click on tour dates. I really hope with these one-nighter cities that you guys buy advance tickets. All of the advance tickets are priced lower, so that might help you out as well. And then that way I'll know how many people are coming roughly, and I will not stress out. Okay, and I will also be on Conan next week on June 4th. I don't know if this will... Yeah, this will be out before then. I will be a guest, like a sit down on the chair guest. Oh my God, so exciting. I know, I've been working on that for months. And what else will you see me on? I will be on At Midnight on June something. June 8th. Oh, okay. There'll be another podcast before then, but I just wanted to tell you guys that. Okay. That's it. Sorry about the shitty plugs. And if you're a new listener, around minute 8 of the episode, I explain what the show is. So you can fast forward to that with your little tape recorder. Here's this week's episode. I see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast. How have I never sung this on the podcast before? There'll be no strings to bind your hands, not if my love can bind your heart. The Diary of Jen Kirkman, episode 93.
There's no need to take a stand, for it was I who chose to start.
Let me just look at my website and see if this is really episode 93.
I see no need to take me home.
No, this is episode 94, you idiot. Why did I listen to you? To face the dawn.
Just call me Angel of the Morning Angel. Just touch my cheek before you leave me, baby.
Just... Why hasn't anyone done a punk rock cover of this?
Then slowly turn away. Me.
Juice Newton. What else did she do? I don't have time to look it up.
Maybe the sun's light will be dim, and it won't matter anyhow.
Bump, bump.
If morning's echo says we've sinned, well, it was what I wanted now.
We've sinned. Come on, Juice. This song is so ridiculous.
I won't be blinded by the light.
It's a good karaoke jam for you guys. If you want to pull out something original, while all your friends are doing the other one that's sort of a song from this time, Total Eclipse of the Heart, no. You pull out Angel of the Morning. And this is for, like, more experienced karaokeers, people who can sing well. Right? Because you get to belt those songs. But you pull out that Juice Newton Angel of the Morning. Because at the end, it goes, darling. And you can hold that note a long time, which I used to be able to do before. I have to go get my throat checked again. I just have this, like, I just have factors in my biology that make me have a raspy voice. And I think, so then I talk over the rasp, and then I push my voice, and then it gets worse, then I have to go back to voice therapy. But I have to be very strict about, like, not eating after six, and absolutely no dairy, and, you know, because I can create, like, a post-nasal drip swampy environment in my, and that's what happens, and the traveling aggravates it. But it's hard. Baby. It's tough. I mean, I should just go full vegan. I probably will. I've done it before. But we're not here to discuss that. That's nobody's concern. Because I'm a vegan on the road, which I know sounds ridiculous. Not always. I mean, obviously, sometimes I can't be, but that's why I get so annoyed when people recommend restaurants to me. It's like, I don't even eat anything, really. I'm not a food like, I eat to survive. I love to go to restaurants, as we've discussed in the episode where I said I don't like sushi. But that's when I'm socializing. Sometimes on the road, I'll go out to eat alone as a social thing to... But that's if I'm somewhere for more than a week or something. If I'm just somewhere for 2 days, you've no idea the schedule. It's so crazy. And then I want to sleep really late. And they give you free food at the comedy club. There's always like a great salad I can get. And I usually just travel with like these fucking power bar things that are like gluten-free and vegan. And I really like the taste. It's probably all chemicals, but it doesn't have those two chemicals. And then, like nuts and all that kind of shit and like tons of coffee. So like, that's what I, you know, your biology gets all screwed up when you travel. So if I fly to the East Coast, get there at 5 PM, then I go do a show. Then the next morning I get up at 7 AM to do press and I'm out all day till 1. Then I go home and nap. It's like, I'm not really sitting around like, oh, what restaurant can I go to? Like, it's just not a thing. It's the last thing I want to do, actually. Comedians don't go places when they go on the road. We have to give so much energy to the shows that we just don't want to do anything. And we're not sad about it either. I guess I could just let it go. Be a Buddha about it. But I cannot stand when people send me restaurant recommendations and things to do in their town. I mean, I don't know why it makes me so angry. I feel like it's just... Everyone has different personality problems. Mine is that I hate when I'm misunderstood or people don't know me or see me. I remember one time I got super mad at a friend who was like, Jen, get over here. Like, she wanted to pony me out. That's not even an expression. Make a dog and pony show of my life. And she had her mother married friends in a circle. And she was like, Jen always has fun dating stories. And I was like, no, actually I don't. It was last summer. I was like, no, actually, last time we talked, I was in pain over something. It wasn't really a fun story. But the other things I tell you, the little flings and flungs here and there, I'm not going to sit and tell a group of women I don't know about that. Nor am I going to tell you the heartbreaker story. So, I don't really have any fun stories, but thanks guys for gathering around. And I was talking about that in therapy once and my shrink was like, it's because your friend didn't really see you in that moment. You know, it was like, she didn't really understand who I was in that moment, which is not someone who feels carefree all the time about dating. You know, what am I, some advice columnist or something? I don't even know what that means. you know, it's not a wacky sitcom. Like, I'm not going to tell perfect strangers stories that might have been funny to my friend because I was making light of situations and we can laugh at it. But you can't gather your good friend around and think she's going to tell you some hilarious story. Even if I did have wacky dating stories, which I don't. Like, oh, I met a guy online, never done that. And then when I showed up, he was wearing a toupee. Like, even if I had a story like that, I would not tell a group of married women at a party. Because then I would have to hear them go, oh, I'm sorry. Oh. So when I don't feel seen, heard, understood. I just get primally upset. And when someone sends me, great barbecue place in town, I'm like, do you even know me? Well, of course they don't. They're strangers, Jen. You shouldn't even be looking at that anyway. Hang on. Stop focusing on the small stuff. Yeah, I'm texting my friends back. Okay. Anyway, who cares about that? Well, your 8 minute, I was going to make an announcement at the beginning of this podcast. Welcome to any new listeners. I believe there's been a slight spike in my numbers since my Netflix special came out, and I have not checked the email for this podcast and probably won't for until I'm in a absolutely great state of mind, which I am in one now, but it's late and I have to be up at 4 a.m. to go to New York. I don't feel like reading from people who were like, you were so funny on Netflix and I listened to your podcast. Shut up, you stupid feminist cunt, you know. So I want to tell people that I provide many places where I believe I am funny. You can watch At Midnight or Drunk History or my Netflix special, I'm Gonna Die Alone and I Feel Fine, streaming now worldwide. I have 2 comedy albums available on my website. I have a funny book I wrote called I Don't Want Kids or something. I try to be funny as a guest on other people's podcasts. This podcast has morphed into its own community, its own thing, and it's the one thing I do every week that's free. It ain't gonna hurt anybody. And it has become a really, for me, interesting experience. I like talking, just saying what's on my mind. Some people like listening. And it is not because it's supposed to be ha 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 funny. It's supposed to just be, well, it's not interesting, but supposed to be. It's just supposed to be. It's just supposed to be. Because I listen to podcasts and I know that what I am a fan of is when I enjoy someone's point of view on things and I just want to hear them talk about it. I don't have to laugh. I don't have to cry. I'm just, you know, brushing my hair or doing laundry or whatever I'm doing. I like a voice talking to me. So this is not supposed to be a comedy podcast. You should not get angry if you are not laughing because you can just shut it off. I'm not saying that there aren't laughs on this. We chuckle. We have fun, don't we, guys? But a lot of times, hang on 1 sec. I'm sorry. No. Okay. So, sorry, my friends are texting me nonstop and I'm like, it's 9:15 and I just said I was going to bed. I have to be up at 4 a.m. I'm loved, you guys. Who's she texting with? I'm texting with Chris Frangiola and Sarah Colonna. 2 great comedians, 2 great friends. So let's start with, I had a lot to talk about this week, I think. I made notes, they're everywhere. Even my notes section is messy. Oh, that's fun. So my Netflix special came out called I'm Gonna Die Alone, I Feel Fine. And I have been getting amazing response from it. It's been very interesting. I cannot keep up with the amount of love I am getting on Twitter from it. So as tacky as it is, I just favorite every compliment I get about the special. And what I am loving is that the demographic goes all over. It's a lot of women saying, oh my God, this is me, which makes me really happy because I don't always experience that with live audiences. I don't have an overload of women coming up and saying, that's me. Maybe one or two, but I'm having a lot more online. And there's, you know, there's so many people that haven't seen me. You know, when you do shows in a town and maybe 800 people saw you one weekend, that's not a lot of people. But it seems like a lot to me, the fact that anyone is showing up. And I mean, a lot of the people are seeing me for the first time. Most people that come to comedy clubs don't know who the comedian is. They just get free tickets. So that's what I mean. It's like a lot of times it's strangers, like probably 400 are strangers. And so I think I've just been introduced to a lot more people on a bigger level. Obviously, Netflix has a greater reach than, let's say, Good Nights in Charlotte, North Carolina, or Raleigh. I mean, no offense to them. They know they don't. They're not worldwide. What was I going to say? Sorry. I can't even text back. I'm recording a podcast. Stop texting me, you guys. So, what was I going to say? You know what I was going to say because I was saying it. See, if you're new, you're like, oh my God, this is the podcast. It's not usually this bad. It was very nice and lovely. And I hope it translates to more people coming to see me on the road. You know, as it is now, I think most people think I just started doing stand-up, which is fine. But I don't know what 40-year-old woman would just start doing stand-up. You know, been doing it, it'll be 18 years this summer. Dear God, help me. And I don't understand this attitude, but I guess it's just the way our minds work these days. Is a lot of people think, oh, I have never seen her before. And then people have written, you should tour. It's like, oh my God, my head's going to explode. But I am trying to be grateful. And so, but I hope that, you know, that everyone knows how many fucking shows I have coming up. And I think you do, because I will probably have recorded an intro to this where I will name all the cities. If anyone does music, if you want to put to music all the cities I'm coming to and write me a song, I can play it at the beginning of my podcast. I'm sure that would get annoying because then as the days click on, cities will be dropped here and there, but that's okay. People will get the hint. They'll get the point. They'll know where I've been. I've been everywhere, man. Okay, so what should we talk? Okay, so I snapped at some... I didn't snap. I was just a cunt a little bit to someone on a plane last week. You know when, like... Okay. I got on the plane. And... this is how... and I'm sure your brain works the same way. It's how a brain works when you're sort of thinking about something, but not really. So, when I took out my boarding pass to give to the TSA agent, I noticed that I had selected a window seat for this flight, which is great. That's what I meant to do. But I was, so I saw that it said, you know, 4B or whatever it was, 4F or 4C or something. It was one of the window seats. And I know which side of the aisle C and F are on. But my brain just looked at it and went, oh, window seat C. Then I put the boarding pass back in my pocket. Went through security. Well, no, put it back in my bag. God forbid I have one in my pocket. Get that out of your pocket! I used to have a joke about that. I forgot to do it. Anyway, so, great. I'm sure the world will wait. So, you know, then I get some breakfast and I do some stuff or whatever I'm doing. You know. Healing the sick, shaking hands with people, just making everyone smile at the airport. You know, I'm very busy. By the time I'm getting on the plane, all I remember is my row number and that I'm in a window seat. And I'm pretty sure I memorized it right. And so I just, so as I'm walking onto the plane, and yeah, I'm in coach. Fuck you. It's the fun part, though. You pay a little more for some legroom. So I go to my right, the row of seats to my right. And I sit, and I put my purse under the seat in front of me, put my seatbelt on. First, I get out the wet wipes. That's right. You know the germs on that plane. I hate when people go, you're a germ phobe. No. A phobia is an irrational fear of something that obsesses you and leads you to take compulsive actions that are not helpful. Someone who doesn't want to get sick is someone who, when they can, avoids excess germs, and they don't clean the planes in between flights, and dirty people with their dirty germs because they eat terrible food and it affects their digestive system. We live in such a dumb fuck country, America, if you're here. If you don't live in America, then I don't know if your country's as dumb fuck about it as ours is, but people have no idea that their digestive system is the beginning of their fucking sinuses. And it's exactly why you get sick. What is in your stomach affects what happens in your nose and throat. So yes, in the winter, when you want to eat all those sugary fat foods with the dairy and the bread, you are weakening your immune system with all the sugar and the dairy. And then someone on Twitter tried to write to me that that was a myth. I go, there's not a debate here, you fuck, you dumb fuck. So I take out my wipes and I wipe the seatbelt handle. I wipe my armrest and I wipe the tray and I wipe the TV. That way, I'm probably already touching germs. Germs are everywhere. I'm breathing them in. But I've sat down and said, you know what? I know me. I always have my fingers in my mouth. I don't want to touch someone else's snot that's on this tray and then put it in my mouth. I don't even pick my own nose and put it in my mouth. I don't pick yours and put it in mine. What a germ phobe. I left that snot on that tray so you could get it, because actually, the more germs you have, it's good for your immune system. Yeah, tell that to fucking moms with kids who are sick every 10 minutes. Every parent I know is like, sorry, I'm sick, my kid. It's like, yeah, there's that argument that more germs help germs. No, I know it does. I know it does. I know that's what a vaccine is. Shut up. But not all the time. How about I don't risk it that way? How about also killing germs does help sometimes too? How about we do both? How about a natural amount of germs is going to get in my body that I can't control, and that does not bother me. Therefore, not a germaphobe. What was the point of the story? Oh, the seat. So I do the wet wipes, and now it's time to relax, right? I put on my iPod headphones, get my little plane playlist. My friend Chris just texted me. That damn billboard just winds up in the ocean too, choking a whale. Thank you, Chris. I do have a billboard in LA, two of them. Now, it's not because of me. Netflix just owns billboards and whatever's the new thing they put up. It's still exciting. It's fun to see my face. But I just picture people driving by going, who the fuck is that? What a bitch. Anyway, so this guy comes over and I'm in his seat. He goes, that's my seat. And I go, it is? I thought I was in the window. And then I'm like forgetting, oh, I'm just getting the window seat wrong. I'm not thinking, oh, I'm in the other window. I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'm on the aisle. Maybe I looked at it wrong this morning. I don't know. It was 5 a.m., you know. And I go, oh, maybe I'm on the aisle. Just because I'm not thinking. It's not that I don't know how to read the ticket. I just wasn't looking at the ticket. I fly so much, I get confused about which flight this is. Like, I will remember getting on a plane from 4 days earlier and like instinctively sit in the seat I sat on the whatever. So I stand up and there's a guy sitting in the aisle of the row that I'm supposed to be in. And I fish my ticket out of my bag to look at it. And he starts to grab it from me. He was probably an older man, like 55. He goes, do you need help? I said, no. He goes, it does get confusing sometimes. I go, not for me. Travel every week. Thanks. I said, I wasn't confused about how to read the ticket. It's that I wasn't looking at it. And I just sat down rather unconsciously. I understand. I'm in the window seat. And I sat down and he just smiled. He goes, it's okay. He goes, sometimes you just don't read it right. And I'm like, would you shut the fuck up? What did he say? Sometimes it's hard to decipher what it says. I'm like, no. If I handed you a book and asked you what the first sentence of it was, but I said, don't open it. And you were like, I don't know, because I have to look at it to see. And then I opened it and read it and went, the first sentence is this. That's okay. Not everyone can read. It's like, I don't fucking read. I just wasn't looking at the book. It's just kind of one of those guy things. It's these little microaggressions, we call them, that men and women have, where it's like, I'm not stupid. I'm not young. I never flown. I got it. I just don't feel like a man would say to a man, it gets confusing, doesn't it? Like, I can't picture that. Like, I cannot picture that. But I kind of snapped at him. But I'm like, good, let me snap at people. You know what I mean? Just everyone calm the fuck down. Great story, Jen. One for the books. One for the ages. So, okay, I want to talk about Bruce Jenner because I can't stop thinking about it. Oh, first of all, it's Memorial Day right now. Thank you to all of our... Now, I don't know if people don't know this. Memorial Day is where we, I believe, honor the dead soldiers from all of the wars. It's supposed to be a very reflective holiday, but the atrocities of war, of how people either got drafted or because of certain financial circumstances, it's better for them, more advantageous to enter the army than it is college. And these people fight other people's wars. Now, some people want to be in the military. I understand that. They have a passion for it. They feel strongly about a cause. Then that's fine, too. But a lot of people who have passed on made a huge sacrifice. Whether they didn't believe in it and just got sent, or whether they just never thought about it and were just doing their duty, right? The bottom line is, no one fighting in the war started the war or came up with the concept, right? You've got boots on the ground, people carrying out world leaders' decisions. And it's nasty, and it's awful, and it's ugly. And I'm sorry it has to fucking happen at all. And I feel like that should be the tone of Memorial Day. But instead it's like, barbecue, rev up my Hummer. I just can't take it with the barbecuing. We got it. You put meat on the fire. Ugh, cavemen. We got it. I don't think there's one soldier who's passed on who's like, who isn't barbecuing? I'm up here in fucking heaven. My body's in the ground with one leg and one arm, and someone isn't barbecuing in my fucking honor. Like, it's not, you're not a bad person if you don't want to go to a barbecue on Memorial Day. But Memorial Day for me was always this stress. Same with July 4th, because, you know, I worked, even though it was in show business, I worked a 9-to-5 writing job. And I was also on the road on some weekends. So right now, I don't have a lot of free time. I'm still caught up in meetings and doing this and doing that and running around and press and whatever. But when I was on the road and working full time, my leisure time was really important to me. So when I had one day off a month, like everybody else with their Memorial Days, I would like to spend it doing something I want to do. But because there's a dominant culture of you have to have a barbecue on Memorial Day, I would never even get to think, well, what would I like to do today? Because no one would be available to do it, because everyone was doing the dominant thing that people have been doing, which is having a barbecue. So I could sit alone, or I could go to the barbecue. Now, that's not my only two options, but, you know, someone would say, hey, we might have a barbecue Monday. Oh, all right. You know, just absentmindedly like, okay, you're people that I like, you know, maybe I'll go. But then I realized I was never having a good time there because I had to spend my whole time talking about why I wasn't eating meat. And this is the myth of being a vegetarian or a vegan. We do not fucking talk about it. It is the meat eaters who are constantly, constantly going, you don't eat meat? I thought you did. Well, how do you get your protein? Oh my God, how do I get my protein? Who the fuck cares? How do I watch paint dry? How does anyone do anything boring? Shut the fuck up. So of all these myths, that's why you're so skinny. No, I was a huge when I was a vegetarian. When I first started, I was just eating bread. I was like a balloon. It's like, it has nothing to do with being thin. It has nothing to do with, there's no lack of protein. There's plenty of protein out there. So we don't have to eat meat. We could be plant and nut based animals. We could be. I'm not saying you should be or what you should do. I'm just saying we have evolved enough. We're okay. Our body can barely digest meat. It's fine. I'm not judging. I really am not. But I do think that even if I were a meat eater, and I was from age 0 to 12, but or 13, but those weren't exactly the years that you're going to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. You know, there's so much meat I've never had. It never appealed to me. So I'm no love lost there. I'm not upset. It would be like seriously going up to someone who's married and going, but do you see that guy over there? You never fucked him. Yeah, I know. I'm not interested. How do you know? Well, I mean, what? I've never had ribs. You know why? Because they look like ribs. I don't want to eat something called ribs that looks like a rib. I think it's gross. I don't think you're gross. I just don't want to do it. But when it comes down to it, there's certain things I don't, you know, if I'm at a restaurant and someone's eating, it's fine. But I'm not going to put myself, you know, because a restaurant is public property. I've sat down with someone, I've taken into account, we all might order things that gross each other out, right? Whether it's meat or not. But if I find the act of talking about barbecuing and throwing meat on a barbecue to be so boring and also kind of gross, the smell kind of grosses me out, but I don't judge. I just don't want to be around it. So I have to remove myself from those situations, right? I would never go to someone's house going, you shouldn't be doing this. I would just think, yeah, it doesn't make me that happy because I don't want to have to talk about so I don't go. I do like to make fun of it a little though. I mean, hey, look, if you're going to do a thing that everyone else is doing and you're going to talk about barbecuing like you're in some weird commercial for charcoal, I'll make fun of you. Not to your face. I'll tweet about it. I'll write a little joke on Twitter. And also it's a day where it's like very kid friendly, these barbecues. It's not a day of, hey, the adults are having a party for other adults. So it's like, do you want to spend your day off with someone's kids? Because the reason they want to spend the day off with their kids is because it's their kids. Why am I supposed to be all excited about Johnny's first hot dog? You know, I don't give a fuck. And after 41 years almost, I'm getting more comfortable being like, you know what? I actually don't think I would enjoy coming over, and it's my day off too. So as much as I want to see you, seeing you under these circumstances is not really like seeing you. So I think people are finally catching on that I don't like that stuff. But I sent out a tweet today or yesterday that was like, I think my friends are finally realizing that I don't like barbecues and they're gross or something. And a friend of mine got really mad at me. And they're like, yeah, we didn't invite you today because of that tweet. Like, was that about us? I'm like, no, I don't even know who, what am I in your head? I knew you were going to have a barbecue. Like, it's about everybody. It's about, I'm trying to have a sense of humor about what a bitch I am about it. If you can have a sense of humor that you are doing a thing that's pretty, I don't mean thoughtless, but you're not putting much originality into the day and you're having a barbecue and it's like, yeah, yawn. Okay. We've seen a barbecue. Now we have them 3 times a year, 4th of July, Memorial Day. Then you do have one Labor Day. Somehow that's turned into the military as well. So it's like, yeah, I'm just not rah-rah meat. Sorry. But I didn't mean to upset people with making a choice for myself. I just made a little joke, not at anybody. Now I've alienated myself from the barbecue people. That's not a great story either. But I am going to say this. Eat all the meat you want. Eat it all day. I don't talk about, like, if you're passionate about meat and you're like a foodie or something, fine, I guess, but I find those people boring too. If you're at a barbecue, it's always people talking about, like, I barbecue the best. I get right like this. I'm going to put the meat on it. There it goes. I love that. It's like, what are we in a mindfulness class? Why are you suddenly just focusing on what you're doing so hardcore? Like, what is with the talking about barbecuing while barbecuing? Do you ever notice that? It's the one thing people do that while they're doing it, that's all they talk about is how they're doing it. I just get bored. I'm like, can we talk about something else? Let's have a fight about politics. Whose religion can we make fun of? What else is happening? Who has some gossip? Anyone have an affair? You know, like, let's talk. I don't talk about the way you're grilling that thing. I don't give a shit. The things I'm interested in, right? So the way that people are interested in meat, I'm not really passionate about food. I love coffee. I love wine. And I like to talk about coffee and wine if people want to talk about it who are also into coffee and wine. So if somebody is and they have some information for me, like what where this was roasted or what, you know, wine grape this is from or something. That's great. But I never impose what I like on other people. I would just simply drink a glass of wine in front of you. I wouldn't bore you with the details of what I learned about it. If you asked me what I like about it, I would answer you. I would also answer you in a way that is completely neutral and not telling you what you have to do about it. I would just say, I like it because of this. I really don't understand that lack of... So anyway, I just feel like if you don't have a curious mind, and I feel like people who are just like, we slabbed the meat on the barbecue today, it's not a curious person to me. It just, I get bored. I get bored very easily. As you are listening to this fucking story. So I wanted to discuss Bruce Jenner and how I will watch anything and everything he's on right now. So I know I've told you guys the stories. He yelled at me at a party. We have different political views. If you don't know, I said that on another episode, and I've said it a million times. What I keep thinking about is, so I watched About Bruce, which is the Kardashians. So he had the Diane Sawyer interview where he talked about his transitioning. So now I'm bored myself. So now the E! Network has released the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, whatever season this is, 57. And the first two episodes are called About Bruce. Hashtag About Bruce. And so it's him talking to the family about it. I think it's even better than Diane Sawyer's expose because you see the whole experience. You see how everyone's handling it. You see the questions. You see the complexity of it where, you know, Khloe was saying to him, so, okay, you know, she came over with some clothes. Bruce, I brought you some clothes. And he's like, you know, I don't even know what her style is yet. And he's trying on these shoes. And it's a very interesting point. Like, if you've been suppressing being a woman for 65 years and you've had little moments of dress up here and there when no one's looking, you don't really know your own style. And, so now that he's able to do this, he has to figure out his own style, which is crazy. And I feel there must be such sadness in becoming a woman at 65. Like, to never have been young and been able to be a woman must be very painful. If you want to be a woman, I mean, if you don't, then it's not painful. But, yeah, I think that's got to be painful. And I think there's so much, so that was my point is, Khloe said to him, well, you know, it's great. You know, you're free now. You're dressing like a woman, blah, blah. And she's like, do you think you'll ever transition into being a woman? And he was like, oh, yeah, I think this spring. And she's like, this spring is in 3 months. You know, this was probably filmed a few months ago. Great. Oh, what a detective Jen is. What a sleuth. Honey, come in here. Rewind it. Yeah. So, you know how it's May right now? So it's spring right now. Well, Jen was watching something where Bruce Jenner. Yeah. He was referencing springtime of this year. So what Jen deduced is that because he was referring to it as being in a couple months, they must have filmed this a few months ago, and then they released it now. And Jen figured that out. Okay. So Khloe was like, wait, what? Like, you've known this, and you didn't tell us that part of it? So they didn't know he was transitioning, you know, at the time of this being filmed. And he was like, well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. And she was really upset. And it was like, you know, I think it's one of those things where you just get upset because change is hard. You don't really know what you're upset about, but you start talking. She's like, well, I just want to know, you know, what's going on. And then when he was talking to Kris Jenner about it, his ex-wife, she was saying, I loved you and I wanted to be with you. And you were lying to me for so many years. And she knew he had a cross-dressing thing, but she never really went further with it, which I find so bizarre, you guys. I find it, I guess just because we know so much more about this stuff now that if I met a man today who said, hey, I like to cross-dress a little bit, I would definitely have questions for him about, like, does he feel that he's actually a woman and does he ever picture himself transitioning? I would definitely ask that question. Maybe it's just not a question you had in mind 20 years ago. Maybe it's something that you just go, I don't know, this person's a little odd to me. You know, not that it's odd to do that, but okay, well, you know, because, I mean, we all have our gender fluidity in some ways, and I've definitely dated guys that, like, can throw on some black nail polish, and I didn't think they were going to be transitioning or anything. So maybe it was, like, one of those things where she's like, oh, he's kind of kinky, you know? And maybe she really didn't think anything of it. Maybe she loved him so much it was such a deep denial. So I'm not trying to put any blame on her. Like, she should have known. But, you know, I think a lot of stuff comes up for her. Maybe she is thinking about her denial. Maybe whatever. But she was saying, it's like you're dying. Because you're going to turn into her and Bruce is gone. And I never thought about it that way. I mean, obviously for the person transitioning, they are happy about that. Not that they feel they're dying. But it feels totally different. And I can see where for the families of the person transitioning, where it can be very painful to say goodbye, even though you're like, no, it's still me. It is, but it isn't. So it's truly a transition for everybody. And I think they handled it with a lot of sensitivity. I think they did a fucking amazing job with these two episodes of showing all the different reactions families can have. They're all still, you know, but with Chris and Bruce, it was very tense. And I think with him as well, is that he had all of this inside of him for so long and probably so much resentment at society, at the world, that he just didn't feel comfortable being himself, that I think now when anyone has a question, it must take a lot of patience to not just be like, just shut the fuck up and stop asking me stuff. Like, he has to be so patient. Like, yep, well, I don't know if I'm gay or not, you know. And he's just being very patient, you know. I thought it was interesting that he said once he started taking the estrogen, his anxiety stopped. Like, it was the natural hormone that should be in his body, you know. And, oh, God. I'm so proud. Sorry, I have a friend who just told me that he got into Morrissey. I have a friend in Australia that used to make fun of me for being into Morrissey, and he was like, I don't get it. And I was like, how do you not get it? Like, you ever have a friend that you're like, I'm not, okay, I never would say that. This is me after just saying you should not tell people what to do. This particular friend of mine is the same person as Morrissey. So I'm like, it's hilarious you don't like his music. That's all I was saying. Okay. Anywho. So with Bruce, he must have just been so angry that it's like, I wonder if he gets frustrated answering these questions or even feeling like he has something to answer for. Like, part of him is like so focused on how he's moving on that I do think he comes off sometimes, and it's totally fine. I'm not judging. Sometimes he looks a little, not unsensitive, but just a little unfazed by people's reactions, like Chris's. And maybe because they had a love relationship and you're going to have your own issues with them, whether you're transitioning or not. You know, they were divorced before that. And so what Chris was saying was, she was saying, you were so fucking angry for 5 years. And that's why they got divorced, was his anger issues. They started thinking about divorcing around the time he fucking yelled at me at the party. I know I keep bringing it back to this, but this is why he's affecting me so much, I think, is that she was like, I tried to talk to you about it. And you just said, she goes, I just thought you were going through a midlife or a phase or depression or wanted to leave me. And she just said that the anger was so, you just were so shut down. And so I remember after he yelled at me, I said to my friend Heather, I said, I can't, what is wrong with him? And she goes, he just sits at home watching Fox News all day. He doesn't talk. He's just in front of the TV getting worked up, and the whole family thinks he's weird. And I was deeply unhappy then. My marriage was ending, or right before it was ending, and I was, I think this was that time. And I was overweight, and I was unhappy, and I was home watching MSNBC. I was doing just the same thing, opposite political spectrum television, angry at the world, you know. But I could do something very socially acceptable in my situation. I could lose weight and get divorced. This guy felt no fucking way out. And I can't imagine, if you want to be a woman and you're living in the most estrogen-filled house in the world, like, imagine being jealous. Like, would you ever sit there and think, my dad's jealous of me right now because I have a glam squad coming over this morning to do my hair and makeup? Like, not one person would have ever been like, oh, Bruce, that Republican over there that won the Olympics watching Fox News, Oh, the reason he's angry is because he wants to be over here putting on lipstick with us. Like, that was why he was fucking angry. It's amazing. It's so multi-layered and beautiful and wonderful and crazy and wow. You know, you fucking never know what anyone's going through. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it is, like, if there could be some fucking kindness around here, maybe we could make people's lives easier. So I'm going to go back to Bruce because I know people have a lot of opinions about it, but I saw this very interesting thing. I was getting my nails done yesterday, and this mom came in with her son who, you know those kids that you go, oh, this no way the parents had anything to do with this kid. This kid's just special. He's a ball of light from another planet. He's I don't know what it is. He's just got it. He's got personality, right? It's just like, oh, he came here just ready to go. So he walks in, hi, ladies. And, you know, he's probably like six and he's asking all their names and he's very sweet. Like one of the ladies is bent down doing a pedicure and he puts his hand on her shoulder and rubs it. And he's like, how are you today, Mary or whatever? I'm like, who's this kid? He's like walking around like he's George Clooney, but he's six. And so I'm like, oh, well, that's nice that this little boy goes with his mom to get a mani-pedi and he's so well behaved. And so he sits in the big chair next to his mom. And I think they're going to, so all the women scurry away. I think they're going to get him a coloring book or something. They come back with a little bucket. Like they're going to give him a pedicure. I'm like, what? And they start giving him a pedicure. And I'm like, what child needs a pedicure? I mean, you don't need one male or female. You know, you got the softest little feet in the world, you little baby fat feet, right? Who cares about cuticles? You're six. Get outside and play. But this kid wanted a pedicure and his nails done. And I'm like, oh, maybe he likes to keep things neat. Then he got silver nail polish on both his toes and his hands, 6 years old. And I know people are like, come on, that's too crazy. Blah, blah, blah. But I thought about it. Okay, so I took myself down the rabbit hole because I was like, that's odd. But if I had a kid who was straight and wanted to wear nail polish or gay and wanted to wear nail polish or perhaps thinks they were born in the wrong gender, I don't know. I don't think that means that just because you want to wear nail polish. I have a guy friend whose son went through, not a phase, but he for a while wanted to wear nail polish. Now he wants to dress like a superhero. And it's like, maybe that was just a thing, you know? And so I took myself down the rabbit hole of like, okay, so this kid expresses interest in wearing nail polish. And just because it's not the gender norm for boys, how's his mother going to react? Is she going to go, oh, honey, that's just for girls. Is that something that's going to come out of her mouth in 2015? Did she ever imagine she would be having to say stuff like that? Oh, that's just for girls. Well, why is it? I mean, honestly, why is it? So because something is for women, does that mean if men do it, it's weak? It's too feminine? Is that bad? Is it necessarily feminine to wear nail polish? Maybe it's just artistic, right? Tons of women don't wear it. Doesn't mean they're men. So why would a man wearing it mean he's a woman? Well, it's just always been the way things are. Okay, is that a good thing? What if half the population of men, just like half the population of women, started wearing nail polish and it had nothing to do with who they choose to sleep with or what their gender is? Or what kind of masculine, you know? You just go, oh, I guess nothing would happen then. It's sort of like she could say to her son, oh, that's something only girls do. And she could get into his psyche where he feels shamed. So now he has to feel shame that he wants to do something girls do. And not letting him do it means, yeah, that's wrong. So now he feels double shame. And then third, he doesn't get to just put on the nail polish, which is what he wanted to do. If he said, can I have a toy? His mom might say, sure. And then he gets a toy and he goes out and plays. So now there's like three things at play in his little mind. And I do a lot of therapy stuff and I've gone to support groups and things for different ailments and issues in life. And everything comes back to fucking, you know, something that happened when you were younger. It doesn't have to be from your parents. It could be anything, but it could just be, I saw this on TV once and I couldn't explain it. And I feel like that determined the kind of personality I have, right? That could be a big moment in your life when you go to the most trusted person on earth, your mom, and say, I want to put on nail polish. And she goes, no, that's for girls and don't bring it up again. I don't know, in this scenario, she tells someone not to bring it up again. So he's getting nail polish on. And I'm sitting there going, I wonder if this is weird for her. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure it is. I'm sure she has to think to herself, I wonder what this means. Do I have a life ahead of me of a son that's super out at age 6, or maybe he doesn't want to be a boy? I don't know. Or maybe it means nothing. But it definitely crosses your mind because it isn't, quote, the usual. And I'm thinking, yeah, so this kid can go to school and maybe you'd be like, well, he's going to get his ass kicked. Well, he's going to get it kicked anyway. Because a boy that wants to express himself by wearing nail polish is going to express himself all over the goddamn place. And kids are going to sense that he's different and they're going to kick his ass anyway. If you suppress the urge to wear nail polish, you're still the same person at school. But maybe he could be proud of himself and wear the fucking nail polish and people kick his ass and he sees them as idiots. That's what happened to me. I was allowed to express myself however I wanted. And because of that, I went to school really confident. And when kids didn't respond to me and thought I was weird, I thought they were stupid. And I was like, fuck these losers. I'm going to New York someday. And it was absolutely the right thing for my parents to do, was to just let me express myself however I wanted. Within reason, you know, they didn't want me. I mean, there were dumb things that we argued over. Like, I wasn't allowed to wear the rubber bracelets like Madonna. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Of course, I put them in my book bag and put them on when I got to school anyway. Come on. But, you know, so I just took myself down the rabbit hole of like, okay, so what happens if he wears nail polish? Nothing. He gets to be who he is. Kids get to deal with it. He might get his ass kicked. He might get it kicked anyway. And then the world keeps fucking spinning. Someone has nail polish on. We're going to be fine. Anyway, so I, with the Bruce stuff, I put something on, because my, Sarah and I are like obsessed with it. My friend Sarah, we talk about it all the time. We're just so moved. I don't know what it is. And I think it's pretty fucking brilliant. It's fucking brilliant to me that these Kardashians, that everyone's been making fun of them, they got famous for nothing. They made a sex tape and now they this. And you know my opinions on that. I've said it last week. So here they are. I've traveled this world and I saw a billboard in Paris. I have had people come up to me when they recognize my accent. I've told you this and ask me about the Kardashians. They are a global phenomenon. They are loved worldwide. That may make you sick. But all of a sudden, after they built up this global domination, their head of household starts to transition into a woman. And now they have the biggest platform on earth for the transgender community. And they may have gotten famous for nothing, but it's not for nothing now. Now they can do some good with that. And it's fucking a brilliant twist. So I put it on Instagram, something about Bruce. And people were such assholes about it, I just took it down because I didn't want to see the ignorance. And people are like, he just got in a car accident and killed someone. Like, we shouldn't be celebrating him. It's like, but people get in fucking car accidents. I can still sell. I mean, he didn't murder someone. He's not raping everybody. He got in a car accident. And they will deal with that. It is a legal and police issue. They will deal with that. It's not our business. I might not get in a car with him, but I'm not going to not applaud him for what he did. He was driving in Malibu, which if you people don't know, is the craziest road in the world, the PCH, Pacific Coast Highway. I'm sure he was getting chased by paparazzi. People said he was on his phone, but I believe they have debunked that. He's transitioning. He's probably freaking the fuck out all the time. These paparazzi are chasing him. He bumped the car ahead of him. The car ahead of him like did some weird thing and hit an oncoming car. It is so easy to get an accident on that road. Accidents all the time. So it's one of those things where, yeah, unfortunately, someone died. But not the person he hit. He hit a car that hit another car that person died. What they're trying to figure out in a court of law is if he was the catalyst for the accident or if there was something that caused him to get in an accident, such as paparazzi chasing him, or was it he lit a cigarette or something? I don't know. So, yeah, it blows. I'm sure that's the last thing he needed right now. But that is not a moral dilemma that he was in. He got in an accident. So, you know, it's like, again, that's for the courts and the police to sort out. I can't have a moral opinion about an accident the way I could. There's other things that the law and the police have to sort out that I have an opinion on because somebody involved had a moral lapse in, a lapse in moral judgment. Or they never had any morals. This was an accident. Secondly, someone's like, he's just making money off this. So what? Let him make some money. Let him have some ice cream, too, if he wants. It's not hurting transgender people that he's making money off this. First of all, he's been a motivational speaker. Like, this is what people don't get. Yeah, that's what he does for a living, you nutcases. Like, in this, that was why it was so amazing that he won the Olympics against the Russians. Because Russia put everything behind their guy. You know, money, power, blah, blah, blah. America didn't do that with their athletes. If you wanted to be an Olympian, he trained 8 hours a day, sold insurance, kept not qualifying, kept coming back to win. It was a literally American story of I came from nothing and now I'm the greatest athlete in the world. He just thought he was going to go home with a trophy. Because not before him, no one got endorsement deals. And because he was a handsome guy who really felt like a woman, they put him on the Wheaties box and they started giving him endorsement deals. What you don't know, maybe, but Bruce told me himself one time when I worked with him that he immediately started doing motivational speaking. And that's where he made a lot of money. And he loved doing it. And then when he met Chris Jenner, she was a manager and she helped encourage him more about the different areas he could go into with it. So he's always been doing speaking engagements this whole time for 20 years, 30 years, whatever. That's his job. His job isn't just being a house husband on the fucking Kardashians. He's a motivational speaker. So now he'll motivate, speak about this. Is that a sentence? So it's like, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So the guy that does that for a living is continuing to do it for a living, but for a really good cause? Oh, okay. Yeah, fuck him. He's an asshole. Like, people get so mad when people make money. It's like, then go make money. And if you don't have any opportunities, then sure, then vote for the people that are going to help you. But that's all we can fucking do. You don't get mad at other people and decide who's exploiting what. I don't understand that. You don't know what he's doing with his money. Maybe he's donating it to shit. You have no fucking idea what he's doing. Makes me so angry. Watch it turn out. They'll be like, he did kill someone on purpose. And then he made all this money and he just bought cookies with it. And I'm like, oh shit, I look like a dick. Listen, I've been wrong before. I was wrong about Bill Cosby. And I think that's it. I think I've only been wrong about one thing ever. So that's good. Well, hang on one sec.
Hi.
Oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. What's going on?
I just want to come in. I just want to say something.
All right.
I just feel like you're actually the most opportunistic.
What is it?
You're an opportunism.
I'm an opportunist?
Yeah, because I'm like, you've made fun of the Kardashians for so long, and now you're on their side.
I don't think I've made fun of them for so long. I think I'm not a fan of, like, anything they do. I'm not, like, a fan of their clothing line, or honestly, I don't really know what they do, but I'm not a fan. I'm just not, like, angry about it. I get why they're popular.
Okay, but whatever. You're just, like, I feel like now you're, like, you have this Netflix special, and you're trying to, like, kiss ass, and it's, like, we can all see through you. Like, you're the one that's sort of, like, selling out in a way, and it's, like, you know, I'm sorry that, like, it's, like, I saw you in a billboard. Like, you would have made fun of that 10 years ago.
You were 10 years ago. You don't know what I would have done. I would never have made fun of being on a billboard. I fucking love it. That's all I want. Put me on every billboard. Put me on the side of the White House. I don't give a shit. Put me on a flag and have people salute me every day. I've never, ever been against a billboard.
You were all, like, weird and, like, against, you know, like, anyone knowing you.
No, I wasn't. Just no one still knows me, by the way. No one knows me. Just, like, 3,000 more people know me. That's it.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, I just think you're a hypocrite, and it's like, I feel like I can never say anything to you, and now it's like it's just getting out of hand. Like, that's why I haven't come around in a while. Like, I came by, and you were, like, in Australia or something, and I'm like, I don't even know, you know?
I thought you weren't coming around anymore because you don't like that I'm selling those t-shirts.
I didn't know you were still selling the t-shirts. I'm like, I don't understand why. Now it's like,
why are you crying?
I'm just, like, feeling, like, so, like, I'm graduating college this weekend, and it's like, I'm so stressed because I'm like, I have this internship, and I just want to do such a good job. I want them to, like, hire me by, like, I, like, sent them a tweet, and I'm like, I'm so psyched to be working with you guys, like, hashtag, you know, slaying. And then they didn't tweet back, and then I wrote, like, I'll even get coffee on my first day, LOL. Wait, that's what you're going to be doing. You're an intern. You're supposed to, you don't tweet your boss slaying or I'll even get coffee. Like, what do you mean you'll even? Like, oh, you recent college graduate with no life experience that's working for free, you'll even get coffee? Oh, good. We were going to throw big decisions at you, have you sit in on a board meeting, but you'll even get coffee? Great. Then we'll start you there. Like, what the fuck? You don't talk that way. You do whatever you need to do and you do it well. You get that coffee, you get the coffee in the best way you can because it'll make people like you and they'll promote you. Don't go to the job trying to do the next thing to show that you can do it because you're just going to look young and dumb. Whenever young people try to show how well they can do the job that you're doing, they just look stupid. Just make the coffee, make it good and shut up. See, that's like the depression era attitude that you have. I did not grow up in the depression. Well, you had depression or something. But there's two different things, the depression and having depression. Okay, I'm not going to be on that right now and I'm super stressed out. Fuck the haters! Okay, she ran out so quickly, it's leading me to believe that she knows I have to get on a plane or something. I need to go to bed. Whew. Well, I haven't seen her in a while. Guys, don't tweet people for jobs. Don't tweet at your place of employment. Don't tweet at people going, how do I get a job on TV working in a production? Not this way. Or any kind of job, right? Great story, Jen. What an episode. If you are a regular listener, you're like, I'm done listening. What are these speeches about? What's going on with that flight? Do any of our pilots want to weigh in on the flight from Paris to New York that had a bomb threat? This is what I think, actually, speaking of vegetarianism. PETA, for the past few months. Oh, I hate PETA. Who cares? PETA has been upset with Air France because they're transporting monkeys to America for science experiments on flights and in cages you know what I'm saying? In the air, not like on the plane with people, but in the area where they put animals. Oh my God, it seems so awful. And so I was wondering if maybe it was like in the news in the last couple of weeks. I was maybe wondering if they called in like a bomb threat. Not because they have an actual bomb, but they're just trying to fuck with them on like a grander level. I can't imagine they would do that though, because what would that prove? But when I heard that there was a bomb threat called into a flight from Paris going to New York, I was like, I wonder if it's that, but it could be real terrorism. It could be nothing. That shit scares me. I don't want it to get to the point where we can't fly around and see this beautiful world of ours. Paris and New York is the two best cities ever. We can't stop people from going in between. Now all the fabulous people have to stay home. Why can't you call in a terrorist threat from, you know, Dublin to fucking San Diego. No offense to you guys. How about no terrorism? How about that? Imagine all the people. Jen's like a prophet. She said, how about, she suggested different routes for terrorism based on where fabulous people live. That was always her message. Oh my God. All right, guys. Hope this wasn't boring. Whatever it was, hope you got something out of it. Apologies to the new people listening. Apologies to old people listening. And then again, who really gives a shit, right? We don't have to take this so seriously. The hour's over. Get back out there. Have a great day. Until next week, have fun.